Let's turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, and I want us to read verses 24 to 29. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. It will come forth those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. O Lord, indeed the words of Jesus are true words. Help us, O Lord, to hear them. Lord, help us to obey them. God, we pray that you'd bless us, each one in you, O Father, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, press upon us by the power of your Holy Spirit, the truth of your word. Lord, bless us with truth and understanding. And give to us, O God, that true gospel, which alone can give us joy, life, and every blessing. And so, Lord, we praise you now. We worship you. We give thanks, O God, for your word. And we just ask your blessing to be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we have our Lord Jesus Christ in the discourse here in the Gospel of John chapter 5, in which he's really speaking about two resurrections. There's the resurrection of the new birth, in which we are risen to new life in Christ, and then there's the final resurrection to come in the last day. And he says to us that we're to hear his word, and that in hearing his word we will have eternal life. Now, this morning, I really want us to focus principally on verse 25, where Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So Jesus is here speaking of that first resurrection, which is salvation. Jesus came into the world, and through his death and resurrection, you and I can participate. We can enter in with Christ through that and be saved so that we die with him and then we are raised to newness of life with him. So Jesus wants us to really take it to heart, and he wants us to understand that this is not something to happen at some later date, but this is to be now. Like it says in the scriptures, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, right? Or today is the day of salvation. So an hour is coming, and now is, meaning that this is what is to be realized through the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. And what is to take place? Those who are dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So God speaks to people in their deadness, in their sin. Now, notice here we have two hearings. We have the first hearing where there is the dead who hear the voice of the Son of God, and then those who hear will live. The idea of hearing comes from an old Jewish teaching. It's even the Shema of Israel, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And so hear, the idea was not just to audibly hear, but to take it to heart, to really say yes, to be obedient. And so in the scriptures, even in Jesus using here the Koine Greek, he says, akouo, hear. And that also meant both that plurality of to audibly hear, but also to obey. And so we have two hears here. We have that initial hearing, where in the power of God, you hear the voice of the Son of God speaking to you. Right? That's necessary for salvation. Jesus is the Word of God, and he comes, and by the Holy Spirit, he speaks to you and I in our sin, in our deadness. He speaks the living Word of God to us. We hear his Word. But then what's to happen? That doesn't save you just hearing. You need to act in faith. Faith is something that you must do. You must have faith. And that's what the second hearing is. Notice it says here, And those who hear, that is, obey, will live. Now, we're going to look into this. I'll try to open up this passage here. Now, it's really important that we address the error of Calvinism, because Calvinism will say necessarily that men cannot hear, that men cannot believe, that God must actually do something first before they can be saved. God actually has to save them first. He must actually make them alive. He must actually regenerate them first, because they say, well, there's a corpse on the ground. Speak to it. Will it respond to you? No. It cannot respond to you. And they'll say, yes, we're dead. We're totally depraved. Go ahead and speak to that corpse and tell it to get up. It's folly. And they use arguments like that. Well, the scriptures do say that we're dead. Jesus doesn't have any problem with saying that we're dead. And he says that the dead will hear. But notice, their spiritual life doesn't come before. It comes after the second hearing. Jesus says that we are dead. And while being dead, we hear the voice of the Son of God. It's the dead who hear the voice of the Son of God. And again, the Calvinists and others will say, how can this possibly be? How can it be? And they magnify our sinfulness. And yes, we are sinful. We are dead in our sins. But let's not diminish the power of the voice of the Son of God. Let us not diminish the very Word of God itself. That the Word of God itself is very powerful. Look at what God himself says in Jeremiah, in chapter 23. In Jeremiah 23, in verse 29, this is what God says about his word. He says, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? God himself says of his word that it is a power unlike any other. So, while we can say, yes, the nature of man is so corrupt, it is so sinful that men are dead in their sins. Yes, it's true. But let us not undermine the power of God's word. God says that it is like a great fire, that it is like a great hammer. Remember, even at creation. How did the creation come to be? All these things that are good, what has happened? God spoke. God declared his word, and these things have happened. So Peter says, if you look over in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about how, in verse 22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Verse 23, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass. Yes, again, we can confess and say, you know, of ourselves we're nothing, of ourselves we're dead in sin. All flesh is like grass, and it's all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but what? But the word of the Lord endures forever. And notice what he says here. And this is the word which was preached to you. So when the word of God, when we sit down and we read the Bible, or when the word of God is preached to us, or if someone speaks to us the word of God on some other occasion, it's an opportunity for this incredible power to come to us in our deadness, in our sin, and to be saved. So again, let us listen to what Jesus is saying. He says, truly, truly. He wants you to understand this. And it's the truth that's realized presently, that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So, let us consider this whole idea of hearing and being obedient. Turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 1. So, and we're going to look at just a little review here of in Romans chapter 1. He says in verse 5 about himself and his beginning, he says, through whom we've received grace and apostleship to what? To bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. He starts off his epistle here in Romans by saying that they have this ministry received from the Lord to bring about what? The obedience of faith. Remember, Jesus says, the dead will hear the voice of God, but those who hear will live. They have the obedience of faith. That's what then results in life. So also, if you turn to the very last chapter of Romans, again, you'll see that this is sort of like when you have an epistle and or a letter you've written, you might summarize what you're saying at the beginning and at the end. Well, at the very last verses, Romans 16, and he says in verse 25, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations." What? Leading to obedience of faith. And even here in Romans, if you turn to the middle, in Romans chapter 6, Paul says in verse 17, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed." You see, the obedience from the heart, this obedience of faith, that's where that faith is coming from. And again, what is this heart? It's a heart that is what? Dead to sin, a slave to sin. Now, some people here will say, "Well, see, look, it says, but thanks be to God, that God is the one to be thanked." Well, yes, most definitely. It's this wonderful theme in all the scriptures. You find Paul constantly saying at the beginning of his epistles, "Thanks be to God, and in my every remembrance of you, I give thanks to God." But does that mean, as the Calvinist says, that God just sort of zapped them and caused them to become saved so that then they'd have faith? No, it means that God gave his word to them with power, that he spoke his word to them with power so that then faith could occur. But notice again, here in this verse, Romans 6 and verse 17, that while they were slaves of sin, they became obedient from the heart. They had this obedience of faith, this obedience from the heart while they were slaves of sin, just as Jesus said. An hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear, who have the obedience of faith, they will live. God didn't make them alive first. God didn't save them and make them regenerate, born again, so that then they then had faith. No, he says here, they were slaves of sin, that they became obedient from the heart. And see, this is good news for you and I. This is really important because, you know, someone might tell you, "Oh, well, you can't believe unless God first saves you." How discouraging is that? How without hope is that? Rather, you're to hear and to know, dear friend, who is a fellow sinner like me, you can believe while dead. You can believe in Jesus Christ because why? Again, it's the power of his word. The very same word that created the heavens and the earth. Have you heard the voice of the Son of God? Will you respond? Respond in faith. I tell you to do so. You can do so while a slave to sin. And once you then believe while a slave of sin, what will happen? You will then be made whole. Turn over again to Romans chapter 10. For he says, like we saw that verse in Romans 6, obedient from the heart. Well, let's talk about this heart that is a slave of sin, this heart that is dead. Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching," right? This is the gospel that Paul preaches. "For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." I jumped a verse there, sorry. So again, let me start over. Verse 8, at the end there it says, "The word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." Paul says here, obedient from the heart, What heart? A heart that's lost. A heart that's a slave to sin. A heart that's dead. But notice here the word of God comes to such a person in that condition. And with this sinful heart, with this dead heart, what? They believe. And notice this. It results then in righteousness. It results then in salvation. But the Calvinist says that this salvation, that this righteousness has to come first. They say, so magnify the sinfulness of man. And yes, we are sinful. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. But we must understand what the Word of God says. Do not say that a person cannot believe while dead. Say rather what the Word of God says, that while with the heart we believe, and the outcome is, it results in righteousness. It results in this life. Now, you know, again, we need to really see the pattern here. We need to see and understand the pattern of how there's a difference between when you believe and then being actually born of God and saved. Turn over to John. Turn to John chapter 1. And here, even in this verse, some people misread this and say, well, here you go. See, look, you have to be born again first to be saved. But look at John 1 and verse 12 and 13. He says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so they'll say, well, there you go, see? It's not by the will of man that you became saved, right? They'll say, well, it's of God that you became born again. But you need to understand the difference here between these two parts. Yes, we don't make ourselves to be born of God, right? God does. God actually causes you to be born again. But he doesn't cause you to have faith. Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right or authority to what? To become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So if you receive Christ, if you believe in his name, while dead, while a slave to sin, God then gives you the right, and the word there is literally authority, it's justification. He gives you the right to become a child of God. That's birth. So there's believing in your deadness, believing in your state of sinfulness, and this is why this is why the gospel is good news. It's a promise to all of us as sinners that if you look to Christ, if you believe in Jesus, if you receive him, if you believe in him while you are a sinner, God will give you the right, the authority to become a child of God. And that's what it is in verse 13, to be born of God. You see, when you become a child of God, you're born. You have a new life. But it's not that God causes you to be made alive so that then you have faith, because then you're put in a position where you can't do anything. You can't believe. And God wants you to know that you can believe in Christ. But again, the Calvinist says it's not possible. It's because of the power of God's word. It is God's word that gives you the power to believe in Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus says there in John 5. An hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will what? They'll hear the voice of the Son of God. It's the same voice they'll hear on that second resurrection. All the bodies will be in the tombs, everyone will be dead, and there'll be this great resurrection of the dead. And what will they hear? They'll hear the voice of the Son of God. So, let's look at another passage. Look over at Ephesians chapter 2. Here's a passage that talks about our deadness. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we all too formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. You see, indeed, our sinful state can be so overwhelming. Even as Christians, we look back and, you know, we're inside this wonderful room of salvation and we look out the windows of the world and we see the world separate from us and it's so horrible and it's so dark and we think there's no way that we would have ever believed upon Christ ourselves. We're so sinful. But if we were to see the entrance that we came through, the very entrance, right, on the outside it says, believe upon Christ. For when you believe upon Christ, it's God who opens the way for you to be saved. So again, yes, it's so true. The word of God is most certainly true. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. But then look at verse 4. It says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. But notice there, it emphasizes, when you were dead in your transgressions, he made you alive. Now notice, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You see, this grace of God is not something that comes upon you and then forces you to be saved. No, we're under this wonderful canopy of the grace of God. By through faith in Jesus Christ, you obtain the grace of God. And this is what's so important for you and I as sinners to hear and to understand. And this is how someone who is dead, right, as Jesus said in John 5, or as we saw in Romans 6, the slaves of sin, this is good news for sinners in their sinfulness, that the grace of God is there for you and I, but we must believe in Jesus Christ. So the dead here, the voice of the Son of God calling them, believe upon me, turn to me, receive me, believe in me, and I will save you. And as you then are obedient in faith, obedient from the heart, that heart that yet is not righteous, that heart that yet is not yet saved, you then believe with that heart, you then obtain what? This grace of God, this salvation. And the gift of God is this salvation. It is not the faith to believe. Because let me ask you, and I've mentioned this to you before, is the gift of God temporal or is it eternal? If it's temporal, it ceases to be. But no, the gift of God is eternal for you to enjoy for all eternity. You will be in heaven for all eternity praising God for his eternal gift, which is salvation. Faith is temporal. In this passage here, the gift of God is not faith. It is salvation. And this is what you have by the grace of God. But you receive the grace of God through faith. Meaning what? Verse 9, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. You see, faith is not a work. Faith is something where you're saying, I cannot save myself. I am looking to Christ to save me. But you do so while what? While you were dead in your transgressions, while you are helpless, while you are a sinner, and God makes you alive, he then gives you the authority to become a child of God because you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, without turning there, consider as well in Romans 4 what Paul teaches about Abraham. Remember it says about Abraham, he obtained justification by faith, and he makes this point about how did he do so? Did he do so while circumcised or while uncircumcised? He received justification by faith while uncircumcised. Here is the father of our faith, Abraham. How did he obtain justification? Had God cleaned him up first? Had God regenerated him first? Had God given to him the Spirit first? Had God had him circumcised first and then he obtained justification by faith? No. He obtained a right standing before God by his faith in God while uncircumcised. What does that tell you and I? You can be as unclean as any Gentile, as dead as any Gentile, as a slave of sin as anyone, and what? Obtain justification by faith. The circumcision he later received was only to be, as it says there in Romans 4, a sign of the faith which he had while what? While uncircumcised. The very whole teaching of scriptures and everything we have here from the patriarchs and from Abraham, the father of our faith, teaches you and I what? That as sinners, as dead, as those who are what? Separate from Christ, slaves of sin, you look to Christ and you believe in him and you obtain what? You obtain the gift of God, which is eternal, which is salvation in Jesus Christ. So understand the difference. God just doesn't go around arbitrarily just choosing certain people and zapping them and causing them to become saved so that then they can have faith. The scriptures teach that we, like Abraham, dead in our sins and transgressions, look to God, and we do so through Jesus Christ, and we obtain what? We obtain salvation. And this is good news for you and I. This is really good news for you and I, so that you and I can know that for sure, in our deadness, in our sinfulness, you and I can look to Jesus Christ and be saved. And we can tell other people, look to Jesus Christ in your deadness, in your sin, and you will be saved. So Jesus says in John 5, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. They were in a space of death, and they passed over into the status or place of life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. I ask you, are you being obedient from the heart? Are you having that obedience of faith that you are to respond to from God's word? Jesus is calling you. Jesus is saying to you, believe in me. Jesus says in another place, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Look to Christ. Believe in him. Invest your whole soul, your whole hope in Jesus Christ, and you will not be ashamed, right? Whoever believes in him will not be ashamed, the scripture says. So let it be clearly understood, Jesus has no problem with saying that it's the dead who hear the voice of the Son of God. But we must understand that it's not just hearing the voice of the Son of God that results in salvation. You need to hear that with that obedience of faith, that obedience from your heart. You need to hear, and upon hearing that, believing in Christ, what? You will then result in what? Salvation. You will have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask, O Lord, give us your word. Give us the true gospel. Bless us all in Jesus. O God, we cry out to you so in his name. Amen.